Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God says He gives favor to kids that obey their parents. That's really good to know. That's a good thing for us to teach our high schoolers and our junior hires. God says He is going to give you favor and bless you and even give you long life if you will obey your parents.
Here's an episode of Practical Christian Living you'll want to take note of and play for your kids. It's all about obeying your parents. But not just obeying, but obeying from the right motive and with the right heart. With more on the benefits of honoring your father and mother out of Ephesians, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
When I was 14, 15 years old, I thought my mom was as dumb as a rock. I thought, not book smarts, I just thought in the world that she had no clue what the world was really like and that I, at 14, did. What I learned later on was that my mom knew all of those things that I didn't think that she knew, and that her wisdom would help me if I would just be willing to give into it. And so it is with our parents. The Bible says that our parents give us instruction and they give us a direction, and it becomes like a jewel that is hung around our neck when we are obedient to it. What a great picture for us as parents, giving direction and guidance and leading our children, that we can give them like a necklace to go through life with, something that adorns them, something that is very beautiful, because we take time in difficult and hard times to minister to our children. And the thing about kids is, and you guys know this, you can't have one parenting plan for all of your children. I had three children and they were all radically different. They all needed to be disciplined, but I couldn't discipline them all the same way. My middle boy, and he's been a paramedic for years. He worked on a 911 truck in Scottsdale for 6 years. He's got like 20,000 hours of paramedic work that is done. He's finishing this year his degree in biology, and he's looking at going to PA school. I couldn't be prouder of him. And now I'm going to talk bad about him. When he was a teenager, he had a lip on him. It would just drive you crazy. If I said to him, you know, I mean, he's a kid, and he liked to say frickin'. I don't want that frickin', you know, dinner. And I would say to him, don't say frickin'. Frickin'. David, seriously, don't say frickin'. Frickin', frickin', frickin'. And I would just be like, God, I'm gonna kill him. I'm just gonna end his life today. And there were times early on that I grounded him for life, that we went from, you're grounded, I don't care. You know, if it was on frickin', I'd go, you're grounded. He'd go, I don't frickin' care. That's what he would say to me. And I would go, then you are grounded for a week, I don't care. You're grounded for a month, I don't care. You're grounded the rest of your, like, you can't ground somebody for the rest of their lives, right? And so I realized I had to be wise in how I dealt with David. Then 7 years later, after David, comes my second son, my third child. And he has a much more tender heart. And he doesn't have that rebellious streak. And I learned quickly that if I dealt with him the way that I dealt with my older boy, and even my daughter, who didn't have that rebellious streak, by the way, that David did, that I would crush him. And so here's what my older kids say. You guys are all gonna relate to this now. My older kids say, by the time David and Chris was born, you didn't care anymore. He got away with everything. You treated us really, really harshly, and you didn't treat him bad at all. When really, there was a method to the madness. I didn't wanna crush my youngest son because he would respond quickly. All I had to do was say, Dave, stop. And he would, or Chris, stop. And he would stop. David, stop. He wouldn't stop. So we had to deal with them differently. And that's true with all of ours. When I pray for baby dedications here, I pray that the parents would have wisdom for exactly what that child needs. And it's really funny too, before we have kids and we see people with their kids that are causing problems, running around a restaurant or screaming or throwing things, whatever it is. And we go, if I were the parent, I'd straighten that kid out immediately. And then we have kids. And there's nothing like having kids to humble us when we're trying to handle another human that has their own will and thinks it's really funny to make you play fetch. At a very young age, by the way. They don't have to be very old before they realize, if I throw this, mom picks it up. Again and again and again and again and again and again. And then if I don't get it back, I scream. It doesn't take them very long to do it. Now the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. When I was growing up, spanking was acceptable. Today, it's not. When I was growing up, my dad went overboard, by the way. My dad really did abuse me and my older sister. My dad died when I was 14 years old. The abuse was so bad for me that when my mom walked through the door, my dad had been sick for a while. He died of Lou Gehrig's disease, which he had gone. He was 6'1", 220 pounds when he was like 36 years old. And when he died at 38, he was 105 pounds. And he was in a wheelchair, just had deteriorated right in front of our eyes. And my dad had freaked out over a couple of things. A pair of lost scissors one time, and ended up beating us kids over a pair of lost scissors. And what I mean by beating is grabbing me by the arm and taking a belt and leaving bruises from my upper back to the bottom of my knees. Me and my older sister more than once compared bruises the next day after my dad would go into a tirade. I make a few excuses for him now a little bit because I think, well, Lou Gehrig's disease is a nerve disease and maybe he was being affected by that when I was 8 and 9 years old. And maybe that's why some of these things were done. But remember, if you are abusing your children, and we're going to get into that in a minute, not provoking your children to wrath. Remember, if you're abusing your children, if you're going overboard with them, that they're going to grow up and they might one day be a pastor telling you or telling on you to their congregation. It really is good for us to remember that they are growing up. And we need to interact with them in a way that is loving and kind, even when we are frustrated and we don't know what to do. So when the Bible says spare the rod and spoil the child, there are people who are hanging tough with spanking. You need to spank your children. And I spanked my children. There were times when they scared me to death, like when they ran out into a road where I brought them back in and gave them a swat because I was petrified. The discipline, though, the rod here represents discipline, not necessarily beating them or not necessarily striking them. If you discipline your child is going to benefit from that discipline. If you don't discipline your kids, then you're going to spoil your child. That's what the Bible says. It's discipline. And sometimes discipline is more effective when it's not spanking. And certainly a child gets to an age where a spanking doesn't help at all. And when I say a spanking, I mean an appropriate spanking, not something that is any way, shape, or form could ever be construed as being overboard and probably should be left. I mean, this is our culture now, and I understand that. That when I taught on this topic 30 years ago, I taught different than I teach today. I've shared with you guys before, we are all a product of our cultures. We're moving through it, and we are affected by it, even though we don't think that we are affected by it. And especially as your children get older and you spank them, there could be some legal ramifications that fall into play. If you leave bruises when they're small, there could be legal ramifications that come into play. And a discipline of a child should never be to the extent that bruises are left on that child. But the child needs to be disciplined, and it will drive out that rebellious heart when they are disciplined, and there is a price that needs to be paid. So first of all, it says to the kids, obey your father and mother, because it's going to go well with you. It's the first of the commandments with the promise. That goes back to the Ten Commandments that says, honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you all the days of your life, and you will live long on the earth. God says he gives favor to kids that obey their parents. That's really good to know. That's a good thing for us to teach our high schoolers and our junior hires. God says he is going to give you favor and bless you and even give you long life if you will obey your parents. Now, some have taught, and this may be the case, it may be a twofold kind of a thing. The number one, you find favor with God, and that God gives you favor throughout your life as you are obedient to your parents when you are young, as you honor your father and mother throughout their entire life. But also, they know more than you think they know, and they really are protecting you. And it really comes out of a place because we love our children. And for the vast majority of people, that direction and correction, that which we would need to be obedient to, comes from love. And so we are benefited from that because they have lived in this world and they are wiser. My mom was wiser than me when I was 14 years old, although I thought she wasn't. I thought there was no way that she understood what it was like to live in this world. And so it goes on to say here then, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up with their relationship with Christ. We have a responsibility, dads, that our kids would see Christ in us. That as Jesus is forgiving and tender towards us, we would be forgiving and tender towards our kids. As it says in the book of Hebrews, and in Psalms, by the way, that whom God loves, he disciplines. And in Hebrews, it says, and the disciplining of the Lord is never pleasant, but it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. God disciplines us. He doesn't just allow us to live in sin, and he disciplines us to bring us back and to drive those things out of our lives because it's destructive behavior and it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The same thing is true as we train our children and don't provoke them to wrath. It doesn't necessarily mean don't tease them, by the way, because that's one of the favorite pastimes of all dads, is to tease their kids. You might want to be aware of when you are crossing over past, you know, just being an annoyance to them and really, really frustrating them. But really, don't provoke them to anger by being the person who just says, you know, because I said so, and, you know, you're heavy-handed. Know what your children need. Kind of like me, knowing my one son needed one thing, my other son needed another thing, and I couldn't do it both the same. Know your children, know what they need, and don't provoke them to anger. I just want to revisit, as we now are on the section with the dads, the idea of abuse. Abuse in the home for the wife, abuse for the children. These things are never going to end up good. When we talk about sexual abuse, of a dad towards his daughter. Do you remember that Jesus said that anyone who hurts any of these little ones, he made a reference to baby Christians at one point, and he made a reference to children at another point. He says, it would be better for you if a millstone were tied around your neck and you would be cast into the sea. He doesn't say that's what will happen to you if you harm one of these children, new believers or children. He says, it would be better for you if that were done. You know, I had said that our children will grow up, and they will grow up, and they will remember what has been done, and they will remember whether or not there was a tenderness in your home. There's also another truth, and it has to do with your grandchildren, and that is that we learn from our parents how we treat our children. and we pass on that bad parenting behavior when we are heavy-handed or when we're on the edge of abuse or maybe even abusing. I had learned a little bit later on after my dad had passed away that my dad's dad was really hard on him. My dad, when he was 16 or 17 years old, they got stranded somewhere. My dad sat on the hood of the car with the flashlight for them to be able to drive down the road for them to be able to get home. Now, I might be mad about them on the hood of a car with a flashlight driving down the road. But my grandfather didn't believe him and disciplined him severely. And how I took it was a discipline was spanking him at like 16 or 17 years old or beating him, whatever it was. And when I understand that story, it helps me to understand how my dad was to me. And I just got to say, I am so thankful for Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson. A little book he wrote called The Strong-Willed Child. He made some changes to that book later on because, hey, you know, we're all learning and growing. And he came back and corrected a few things in that book. But one of the things that he said as he talked about discipline was never to discipline your kids out of anger. To put them in a room, it does two things. It lets them think about it and it lets you calm down. Go walk it off, figure out what you've got to do, that you can go back in now and you can give the appropriate discipline for what was done for that child. That was so helpful to me because I'm afraid that I would have passed on my dad to my kids. I mean, I didn't know any other way to parent. I was 24 years old when my daughter was born. I would have parented the same way my dad did because that's where I learned how to do it. And I am so thankful for that book. And I'm so thankful for programs that we have here where we've got a parenting program that's going to be going on from our Sunday school in just a while. They're ministering to those kids by ministering to the parents and helping come alongside and just helping you with discipline, maybe better ways to do things, more biblical ways to be able to come alongside and to do those things. So fathers, do not provoke your children unto wrath. He then gets into his last section, and we're in this section now. Remember, the book of Ephesians starts by telling us who we are in Christ. It doesn't tell us what we have to do to be that. It simply tells us because we have committed our lives to Christ, we have riches in Him. We have been adopted into His family. We have been accepted into the Beloved. We have an inheritance. That is the inheritance of, we share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. All those great riches, and that's just a handful of them. And then he tells us, he gives us instruction on how we are supposed to live and interact with each other. Then he gets into a section where he applies it, and this is the section that we're in. We're about done with that. He has one more, and he turns now to bondservants. Let me read this, and we'll come back and talk about it. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or whether he is free. And you masters do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that our own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And then he gets into the great section on spiritual warfare. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So he's talking about slavery. And slavery was all around the world in those days. And slavery is always bad, but there were forms of slavery that was better than others. And he starts with bondservant. A bondservant is someone who is a slave by will. In their culture, in their time, you might decide to give up your freedom and to be owned by someone else. If you couldn't make ends meet, if you were in debt, you could sell yourself as a slave and you would become a bond servant. And it's interesting to me in this world of slavery and masters that the Bible doesn't directly condemn slavery, but certainly the teachings of equality and freedom of all people and that people aren't any different. That helped to overcome slavery overall. And even the book of Philemon is about an escaped slave. And he finds himself with Paul and gets saved. And Paul knows his master. And Paul sends a letter in his hand. That's the book of Philemon. It's very short. You read it later on tonight. And he, not while I'm finishing up the message, but later on tonight. And he gives it to, and he says to I think it's Onesiphorus, I think is, or maybe it's Philemon and the slave is Onesiphorus. But he says to him, I'm sending him back with this letter, and I'm giving him back to you as a fellow brother in Christ. They're both Christians now. And he says, and I would like you to send him back to me. Give him his freedom and send him back to me. Then Paul says, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm paraphrasing this now, okay? Because Paul's much more eloquent in his writings. I'm not telling you what to do. But then he says, but don't forget you owe me. It's just a great letter. It's like, oh, kind of like he lays a trip on him a little bit. Like, you really should send him to me because you owe me your spiritual well-being. You've come to Christ to buy it, and he has too. And I want you to set him free and send him back. There's a lot about this world that God would say would be evil and wicked and sinful. But God teaches us how we are to live in the midst of the world that we're in. Jesus was not about social change. There were things that he could have fought against in social change. The oppression of the Romans, slavery. There were other things that happened. In fact, at one point, Jesus was told that the blood of some Galileans was mingled with their sacrifices. This was causing there to be a group of people who were zealots, who were wanting to fight against Rome and free Israel from the tyranny of Rome. And Jesus said to them, do you think that you were any more righteous than them? And then he says, I tell you not. And then he went on to give them some instruction. At one point, a tower fell on some people. He says, do you think you were any more righteous than them? And he says, I tell you not. And he gave them some instruction from that. He taught us how we are to live in the midst of it. And yes, we should be involved in social change, but the gospel of Jesus Christ should always be the heart of what we are all about, no matter what. And I believe real change will come as we bring the gospel of Christ out into this world. The closest thing that we can do is apply this to employers and employees. That we would say, you that have employers, you have a responsibility to serve them as you serve God. As Christians, be the best employee you can possibly be. Don't be the worst. Don't think that you deserve more. Go out of your way. And as a Christian employer, be the best that you can possibly be. Minister to those that are under you. Don't be, well, here it says, don't use threats, which is what masters did. Don't be threatening. Don't be overbearing. But truly minister to them that they would be one to Christ. That's the whole goal. Even take some mistreatment. Give up your rights for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Christ. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity that we have thinking specifically about family your way. And Lord, also as we look at slaves and masters, Lord, that in whatever circumstances we are in, we are still responsible to live for you and to live our lives in love towards the people that are around us. And Lord, we pray that we would learn this lesson well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 8-5-7-0-6. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.